Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinkham.com Norwich City podcast. We are back after a little while away. My name is Michael Bailey. I'm joined by a bumper crew here. Bumper crew, we've got a sports desk-ish, Peter Raven. He was at Burton Albion on Saturday, the lucky boy, as was myself, as was chief writer for the Eastern Daily Press, Paddy Davitt. And David Freezer wasn't at Burton, but was at Ipswich Town's game against Leeds United doing some scouting. How exciting. How are we all, gents? Dave, you're right. You didn't get to go to Burton, so you're probably in the best mood of all of us.
Yeah, I feel like I need to sort of lower my mood a little bit to suit the tone.
Yeah, we're good at that. I mean, we provide that weekly service to Norwich City fans.
You're welcome.
Has to be delivered. Pete, you're flicking through the Burton Albion programme called the Match Day Brewer. Was a bit of a pee up in a brewery, really, wasn't it, at times on Saturday? Do you want to give us your take from the terraces?
Is that your first pun of the day?
No, my first pun, well, I used the Brewers Droop headline after 5 minutes, or 5 minutes after full time, pretty much. So,
well, it's great to be on terrace again. Sorry, you wanted any other positives? Or
you say that was interesting, apparently, that the seats all sold out before the terracing on Saturday.
Went on sale. I think they went to away season ticket holders first, according to my ticket organiser.
Okay.
Who got them on the day and just said, yeah, there aren't any seats. Not that we'd have had them, because when a terrace is on offer, you clearly go for that, for those that still enjoy bouncing up and down and being pushed forward when teams score a last minute winner. But we were never in any danger of that, so it's quite comfortable in the end.
So the atmosphere lived up to your terracing expectations from yesteryear?
Pretty much, and then about 20 minutes into the game or so, it all died down a bit, and then the atmosphere turned towards the team rather than the game itself. I'm sure you boys could hear what was being said at the end, but I'm not sure I can repeat it on this podcast.
I think they were questioning what it was they saw on the pitch. That was about right, Pad. And if someone was to question to you, if someone was to question to you, Pad, what you saw on the pitch on Saturday, how would you describe it?
From whose perspective? From Burton's perspective.
Go for it.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful battling performance. Team who were playing for their manager. Team who knew they needed the points. And all the same apply to Norwich, and sadly they didn't do any of the above. So, yeah, depressing. That's the end of it for me. They're not going to get anywhere in the playoffs. So, it's what happens next now, as in next season, I think.
Yeah, it's 7 points adrift of the top six. Sheffield Wednesday play on Tuesday night, I think, which is their game in hand. But Norwich are 7 points behind Leeds anyway, who have played the same number of games. Are we all in agreement? I have kind of felt since Rotherham that it wouldn't happen, and I've definitely confirmed now to me.
I'm not ready to give up hope quite yet.
Go on, Dave. Go on, Dave.
It's getting certainly to that point, isn't it? I mean, if Wednesday win that game in hand and Norwich weren't to beat Ipswich, then yeah, then I think you could say it's over. But
are Ipswich allowed to win this fixture, are they?
Well, from what I saw on Saturday, it's possible that they'll at least frustrate Norwich. They certainly should have beaten Leeds.
Oh, God. Pad, what went wrong for Norwich then? We had a good frank discussion on the Facebook Live feed, yeah, which you can watch on the Pinkham Facebook page and on the Mustard TV YouTube channel as well.
Well, for me, it's not what went wrong on Saturday, it's what's been wrong all season, really, which is in certain scenarios they don't have the players equipped to deal with it. It's not a lack of effort, it's not a lack of hard work, it's not a lack of application. They just don't have enough of those players, irrespective of any injury doubts. And to be honest, that's the manager's own phrase, arrogance. I think there was an arrogance at the start of the season that they would basically roll teams over because they were superior in terms of quality. Doesn't work like that in this league, and I think a season in the Premier League has blinded one or two that they could just come down, make the odd tweak, and that squad would be good enough. Clearly it's not for the unique demands of the Championship. A, the type of teams they play, B, the gruelling list of fixtures. So the turkeys are coming home to roost.
I think Alec Neil's trying to drill his way out of Arch and Towers at the moment. I mean, I could probably come up with one or two examples where that arrogance that maybe the players had has come a little bit from Alec Neil as well, in terms of, well, this player should do this, it's only Barnsley, this sort of stuff. Is that a fair, or is there a detachment from what the manager has been trying to do and the players being able to carry it out?
Well, well, it depends whatever term you want to apply to it, but ultimately he went into a season thinking he had a squad of players fit for purpose. They're not fit for purpose. So the buck stops with him. That's ultimately what it boils down to. If you want to call it arrogance, then that's fine. But to me, it sort of shows a lack of understanding of what the Championship's all about, which is all the more strange given that they spent 6 months, or he spent 6 months in it before. As I say, that was a different scenario. He was coming into a setup and galvanising a group of players. These have been his players and have been now for 18 months or so, 2 years in fact. So ultimately, as I say, it's not going to happen this season, so it's what happens next for me now. You know, that set of players needs major overhaul. Some will go on their own terms, others need to be moved on, and people need to be brought in who can go to a Burton, go to a Rotherham, go to a QPR, go to a however other many teams you want to call Reading, and get points, because four wins on the road, that's the poorest total in the top 12. It's not promotion form, and that's why consequently they won't be promoted.
And as we've both written over the weekend, only Nottingham Forest and Rotherham have conceded more goals away from home, which is abysmal. Peter, overhaul squad, stay in the Championship, rebuild. Is Alec Neil the right person to be given the responsibility for all those things? Because I would imagine, sitting in the boardrooms and at the boardroom at Norwich City, that's how they view it. Not wishing to put words in their mouth, but I'd be surprised if it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go anywhere in the summer, is he? They've stuck with him through that awful run this season, then they'll do the same over the summer. Say the squad needs an overhaul, it's still the majority of the team that went up two seasons ago are still playing. If they've gone stale, then has the manager gone stale as well? The quality's there, but they're not performing. Whose fault is that? I noticed in the latest documentary that the club released, he said that he was perhaps too harsh after the Brighton defeat, and he was hoping he'd get a reaction, and he didn't. It's like, well, they're not prima donnas. If he's questioning his managerial tactics already, then I think enough's enough for me, but I think he'll still be there next season.
Should he be? Would you want him to be? You're a fan?
No. And then you ask me who I want in place.
No, not necessarily, because I think that comes second.
Because the players are there, the team, like Paddy says, there is an arrogance about them, but is that not borne out from the manager? He's the one that tells them how to perform, and I know it's difficult, well, it shouldn't be, but it clearly was for them. Going to a ground like Burton's and not being patronised, and the attendance of that whole stadium is probably...
It's impossible not to be patronising. The reality is we have to be patronised.
Especially for the fans, it felt like a sort of pre-season game given the ground, but they can only go where they're supposed to go. It's Burton in the same division as them, and if they're professionals over 90 minutes, then Burton should have been an easy win. How the team lines up, obviously that's the manager's decision, but the squad is talented enough and should be beating teams like that. Should be talking about whether we should get in the playoffs or not. We should be in there.
They don't go up, it's a failure. That is the straightforward description of the season. I think Paddy is spot on as well with this is a completely... It's been a completely different situation for Alec Neil compared to the first 6 months. Those first 6 months you can almost file away as something completely different to deal with. Paddy, you're getting busy with the programme.
Yeah, Burton's programme is here. Brighton have gone there early in the season, won. Newcastle have gone there, they've won. That's what a promotion team does. They go to them places. You're not telling me the Newcastle players, it's any less of a culture shock for them to go there when they go from 50,000 every other week at St James's. They can do it. Why can't Norwich? That's ultimately what it hinges on. That's why Norwich are listing badly in the table.
That's Aston Villa away. Have Villa been there yet? No, Villa haven't been there yet.
No.
And then Burton lost 2-1 at Villa Park, so it's a different proposition away from home. Dave, if they are the same players, well, they're not the same players, as Paddy said, there's been some recruitment gone on, and then the rest are the same players that people thought they've been here, they've done it. They should be able to do it again. So why is that bit not working either?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's probably good timing to say you could describe this game a bit like an FA Cup game. You know, you look at the way that FA Cup or smaller teams would take on bigger teams, and that's kind of the challenge that Norwich are having to face away from home quite a lot, isn't it? That they're the team who are favourites, the opposition manager bigs them up before the game, says about all the quality, and then they've got to deal with that status as being favourites, and they're just not very good at that. But then they weren't very good at being underdogs in the Premier League either. So
no, but they were unbeaten away from home under Alec Neil until they got up.
They were, but it's been not even been close to that this year. I mean, we saw at Cardiff that they could do it, but they're not capable of doing it consistently away from home, and they just don't have the players who are prepared to get stuck in. I mean, you look at the Paul Lambert team of 2011. You had Mark Tierney at left back. I mean, he wasn't a good player particularly, was he? But he was a hard nut, and that was exactly the sort of game where he would have kept his flank. He would have kept everything away from his side of the goal, because he was a lower league player and he was used to having to graft. But I'm a little bit disappointed to see people sort of piling on the manager again straight away when they've gone on a good run of results. You know, it wasn't Alex's fault that Tim Closer made a complete hash for the first goal. So it seems a bit unfair at the end of a 6-game run to just sort of say, oh, so, you know, start turning on Alex again. But I think a lot of people, like Peter said there, had made their minds up about him a long time ago and just don't really want him at the club. So whether long term it's good, if you are going to be rebuilding and sort of putting together a new squad and a new team, maybe there needs to be a new figurehead as well.
I think the issue with that is it depends what you put the upturn in fortunes down to. For me, I don't particularly think it was anything to do with Alec. I thought that the players were starting to take a bit more responsibility. I think even if you spoke to Alec Neil, he would say he wasn't doing anything differently. Therefore, those issues don't really go away. They just come back to the surface when the results start turning in again, because you can never blame the players collectively. It'll always come to the responsibility of the manager, I suppose. But we should touch on Tim Closer, because it was like a brain fade, wasn't it? I hope that's an okay way of describing it. But for such a comfortable situation he was in personally, to just lose the ball right in front of the away fans as well, wasn't it, Pete?
Yeah, right in front of our block. It was weird because he was going to usher it out, but the ball just didn't have the pace on it. It would have stopped before it reached the line anyway, so I'm not sure what he was doing. And then just get completely done like he did. Again, is that arrogance that he's like, well, this is all right, look who I'm up against? But it's no, I still can't explain what he's doing. That was probably about the one time in the half that ball was on the floor, though.
Yeah. So. Yeah, well, it was what it was. I mean, the thing, I guess, Pad, that was kind of criminal defending. But the thing that really got me is that half time they could change. Wes Hoolahan comes on. Norwich have all the momentum in the world in that second half. They get a huge bit of luck to get level, and within 4 minutes they go behind again, and it snapped all that positive. I mean, they could quite easily have gone on to win it once they equalised. They were properly in the ascendancy, but to just go backwards again so soon after you've got a platform to build on, I can't get my head around how that happens, really. It was a lovely goal for Michael Keightley, of course.
Reading Boxing Day, exactly the same. Got back on level terms. Oliveira had two great chances, and then they go down the other end and it's carnage. It's knock off on a corner, Johnny Arson has the handle, penalty, comes back off the bar, score. We keep talking about the same things because we keep seeing the same things. Ultimately, that's what it boils down to.
Is it a discipline, and
it's a fair point you make about responsibility, and Dave's right as well. It's not down to Alex Neil that they go out there and perform with a collective lack of responsibility. It's down to them players, and the fact that they can do it for periods of games is almost a sad indictment on that set of players, that they then throw in what they have thrown in on Saturday and at regular intervals this season. That set of players needs an absolute shake-up, a huge shake-up, because they're not good enough now. There's too many miles on the clock for the ones who were here before, and the ones who were brought in, weren't brought in as championship players, and we're starting to see that. And he's brought in a lot of young players as well, and the time will come now where, whether it's him at the helm or whoever, there needs to be a massive overhaul, a massive refresh to that squad, because I'm afraid it's ran the end of its course.
Massive overhaul equals lengthy time in the championship.
Well, don't do it next season. there's no more money.
They've already spent next season's parachute payments.
Yeah, I think it could be another, like it was sort of late 90s, early 2000s, where it was just mid-table most season, and you see players come in, they do well, they go on to Premier League teams. You expect a few to leave in this summer, and I think it then just be what Norwich have been for the last sort of 30 years or so, is that sort of mid-table championship side. It's or just the yo-yo team. I could see it. Second tier reign for a while.
You have to get it right, don't you? If you get this wrong, then relegation can follow quite quickly and you slip back to League One. Because if it's an over-reliance on young players and you think that the Murphys and Toffolo and, you know, bring some more through are going to be good enough to keep you up in the championship, and you go too far, then it can all of a sudden fall apart, can't it? So you need somebody in charge who knows what they're doing with recruitment. I mean, to bring it back...
Oh, dear.
Well, quite, yeah. I mean, like we said, I was at Ipswich on Saturday, and they brought in some loan enforcements in January. And we saw Mitchell Dykes get brought in, but that was probably at fairly great expense, I would have thought, for the rest of the season. Whereas Mick McCarthy's gone and got some sort of championship performers, players, you know, Emir Hughes, they've got on loan from Cardiff. I mean, he would have fit in at Norwich no problem at all. He looks a good player. I'm not sure why Cardiff have let him out. Jordan Spence at right back, he's knocked around the Football League a fair bit. Obviously they've already got Tom Lawrence in from Leicester, who's been a revelation for them, although he'll miss the Norwich game as well on Saturday. So they've not really used that system. We don't want to go back to the Glen Rhoda days, do we, where you've got a full squad of loan players and no one knows where Cringleford is.
Lovely place, Cringleford.
But conversely, I mean, okay, Leeds perhaps didn't perform as they have done this Saturday just gone, but look at the job Gary Monk has done there. Look at that team sheet. Young, hungry players with the odd experienced head, no more so than Robert Green. Reading, another one. Yap Stam hasn't spent a huge amount of money. He's only been in there at the start of this season. I take Pete's point about the historical cycle, but I think they could get it right if it's done properly and the overhaul is, as you say, balanced, and it's not just baby art with the bathwater. But there are examples there, clearly there. Leeds and Reading this season, even Brighton to a degree, I know they've spent a few quid now, but they've had to build it up. You look at Brighton's 1-11, and it's lads who didn't quite make it, like the knockouts of this world, the Glenn Murrays, with solid citizens. You know, it can be done. But it all comes down to one individual, and that's the manager, and a good manager.
And the problem is Norwich seem to be in a mindset where they've been very good at wasting money, like spending a lot of money, more than they've needed to try and get their players in, rather than spotting someone they can get in for decent money. Because you look at every signing they've made in the last few windows, even if they've been good signings, it's been for a lot of money. And we're not even touching on Yannick Filtschut at the moment, so we'll come back to that maybe later.
Chief executive role then, isn't it? That's possibly the next imminent important appointment ahead of whether any manager changes. You've got to get the chief executive right this time.
If they appoint one, anyway.
And not only that, the youngsters that have just been bought and then immediately sent out on loan, and we've not seen anything from since. Mm-hmm. I mean, Madison's back here, and I think, wasn't that down to him wanting to stay rather than the manager? And we've not seen him in the squad. Why are we spending these money on these youngsters that, okay, might come good in 2-3 years' time? That's no good now.
Again, you're talking millions of pounds, more than Mick McCarthy's probably spent in about three seasons. I was just going to say also, some people may have thought it sounded a bit dramatic about mentioning League One, but you only have to look at the bottom half of the Championship to see QPR.
Forest.
Cardiff are now in the top half, but they've had to have a serious effort put in this season. There was someone else as well, I can't remember, QPR,
Forest.
Cardiff, Forest. Some other team have been in the Premier League, Villa. Teams that have got a lot of money, they're still trying to recover basically from the Premier League. As you said, if you don't get it right, it can be a major issue. Let's hear, shall we, from Alec Neil and Stephen Whittaker.
You wouldn't say Bolton's had numerous clear-cut opportunities that they've worked really well. What's happened is we've given a ball away for the first goal, we've then given a ball away for the second goal, and then we're playing sort of pass back and forward between my centre back and my goalkeeper in the 6-yard box. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it's just, these are the games that you've got to come away and win. Do you know what I mean? And these are the games that this season we've struggled with, and I was hoping that we'd overcome that, but obviously we haven't. Well, it depends on the next game. I mean, we win the next game, they lose the next game, it's down to four, and then it's realistic again. So, but listen, we can't afford any more of them. Do I mean? Because we were basically miracles of our own downfall today. And it's just basic errors, not winning headers, not clearing the ball when we should. It's nothing special. Do I mean, it really isn't. It's just about doing the right thing at the right time, which the frustrating thing is over the last seven games, the lads have did that really, really well. But today we haven't.
I guess you would, ironically, you'd probably want a game as quickly as possible after this, though, wouldn't you? I know it's a free win.
Yeah, there's obviously two ways of looking at it. We do have a bit of an injury list, so it can, we can kind of recover. It's not a nice result to have a bit of a break on, but hopefully we'll get some boys back and look, take the positive from it.
If some fans look at it and see how well you play in the big games, and then some of these games, mm-hmm. it's just not turned up. If people were to accuse you guys not being able to get up for those smaller games, what would you say to them?
I think it's, look, the Championship is a tough league. You come up against different types of oppositions, and you need to find a level of consistency through the season to keep pushing up towards the top of the table, and we've not been consistent enough. Like you say, we can play really well one week and, you know, destroy a team, and the next game, especially these scrappy games, we seem to, the rubber of the greens kind of going against us a little bit, not through a lack of effort. I wouldn't say, you know, we're all there wanting to take the 3 points, but like this afternoon, it just wasn't to be.
And that was a scrap at times, wasn't it? That probably, yeah. There's no time in the middle or anything.
Yeah, but it's not a what's the word I'm looking for? It's not like any surprise that that's what it's going to be like. I mean, we do our homework. The manager states what type of game it's going to be in, and we get it spot on every week. So the players can't use that as an excuse. We know what's coming our way, and we need to, you know, adapt to it better and what we're doing.
Welcome back to the Pinken.com podcast. Before we get back to the discussion, think you're the best at fantasy football? Do not wait until the end of the season to find out. Put your fantasy football knowledge to the test, people, and win cash every week at DraftKings.co.uk. Apparently, DraftKings is the world's number one destination for one-day fantasy football for cash. Now, you can go to DraftKings.co.uk/pink now to pick a team and enter this Saturday's contest for a shot at winning a share of $200, which I would imagine is probably worth more in terms of pounds now than when whoever wrote this down wrote it down. So get in there. That is the address, DraftKings.co.uk/pink, to play free. Anything anyone else wants to say on the betting game? Paddy's shaking his head. Pete looks like he's depressed. And Dave, let's talk about Ipswich. because you were
That's
there.
No, it's not.
It's not. So, obviously, it's the derby coming up on Sunday. The big one, as we call it. Other monikers are available, but we don't like those, do we, Pete?
No.
Well, and I know you've touched on this already, but what are Norwich going to have to watch out for? I know you're going to write a bit for the papers and online as well, aren't you, over the coming week. So, just... say something that you haven't already said.
Well, I won't be calling it the Old Farm Derby because I hate that. They would have won this if it wasn't for Robert Green, which went down well with the Ipswich fans, as you can imagine.
Still remember him then.
They certainly do. He got booed quite a bit. When he ran out at half time, as I was walking back up to the press box with a cup of tea, one of the fans just shouted, "Green, you're a wrong 'un," which I thought was quite, you know, calm, really, for football abuse. But he got his own back on him. David McGoldrick should have put them 2-1 up in the second half. And he also hit the bar in the second half as well. So
he looks like he's in a bit of form, looking from the highlights as well.
It's his fitness, isn't it, with him?
What was it you said earlier? He's found a bit of fitness. Most players have to find some form. He just needs to find some fitness.
Yeah, I think most people respect that he's a good player. And he looked good. He had Freddie Sears just playing off him and buzzing around. And he's a ball of energy. But they played as a Mick McCarthy side would do. They get the ball forward quickly. As soon as they are defending, they played basically a 5-3-2, but the wing backs weren't very ambitious, as opposed to when Norwich had you know, like an Olsen and Pinto at left back, right back, bombing forward. Their fullbacks weren't doing that. As soon as they were out of possession, it was five at the back, Christoph Berra dealing with the lone striker and the two defenders either side sweeping up.
Which is, I mean, Norwich will line up 4-2-3-1 almost certainly on Saturday. You would imagine that that's kind of what they'll be faced with again, so they probably line up the same way.
Yeah, because they haven't got much choice. I mean, it may well have been a game, if Oliveira had been fit, where you could try two up front, because Berra, I mean, Chris Wood, I mean, me and you, Pad, went to the cup game, didn't we, at Elland Road, and Wood was excellent against Norwich that night.
I'm a big fan. Yeah.
And yeah, I'm a big fan. His little bit of chaos that he caused for their goal was when he managed to, for the only time in the game, to get away from Christoph Berra, and he was much taller than Luke Chambers, so he flicked on and they scored. But you know, Christoph Berra is very one-dimensional defender, but he's big and he knows what he's doing. And if he hadn't decided to try and save the ball with his hand in the playoff semi-final at Carrow Road a couple of years ago, that result could have been very different. So he will probably be fairly confident he can keep tabs on Cameron Jerome.
They would have been 2-1 down if he hadn't have done that, though. So, I mean, Norwich would have been ahead. But the thing is, Pat, isn't it, that Ipswich play the way they play. Norwich don't like apparently playing teams that play the way Ipswich play. But this is at Carrow Road, where Norwich have been pretty untouchable for most of the season, really.
Yeah, no, that is the only saving grace. If this was now at Portman Road, you would fear the long unbeaten record is about to go. But I don't actually have, apart from the usual derby kind of concerns and bragging rights and what have you, it's not this game that would unduly concern me, because I think inevitably, you know, Alex Neil again was talking about this will post-Burton, this will take a few days for the sting to go, and as a result you would expect a reaction irrespective of everything that goes with a play in Ipswich. So it's not this weekend that would bother me, it's the following weekend when they go to Sheffield Wednesday, where again we'll be here hopefully not talking about still only won 4 games away from home, still only Forest and Rotherham have conceded more goals. You know, ultimately, I think that's what's going to keep them down, is that they haven't been able to replicate what they've done at Carrow Road on the road, sadly. And, you know, there might be bragging rights this weekend, but I think both teams will still end up in the Champo, so we'll have this all to do next week, next season as well.
That and Burton maybe as well. I mean, Norwich have got a long run of success in this fixture now, Pete. They've talk about being patronising to Burton. I mean, Norwich have had the superiority over Ipswich for going on 10 years now at least. How do you feel about this one? You're furrowing your brow.
This is the one that, like you say, the last 10 years I've not been concerned about any of them. I've never liked the derby, but last few I've been fairly confident that we're going to win, and we have done, just because Mick McCarthy's teams are awful and we've always been better than them. This is the one where, and a few fans on Saturday after the game are now a bit concerned. Like Paddy said, the saving grace is at Carrow Road, which I think will be enough, but ain't going to be pretty. They never are. They're never great games of football, apart from the season we put 9 past them. But yeah, not looking forward to it. When it's over.
Yeah, I would be surprised if Norwich didn't do the business. But as you say, we're into unknowns. And first goal, crucial, surely, isn't it, Dave? Because if they do have something to protect, I mean, as successful as Norwich have been, Preston showed that if you're organised and you hold on and then you get ahead, it can be very, even in this great run, Norwich have opened up teams early on and been able to steamroller sides. When it gets late on and, you know, it's maybe still 0-0.
I think if Norwich get the early goal on Sunday, they'll win, and they'll probably win it fairly comfortably. I mean, at the end of the day, Ipswich did play well on Saturday, but they didn't win. They managed to not win that game. So
they missed a lot of chances.
Yeah, they're not a brilliant team, but if Norwich can get that early goal, I don't see it being a problem. If Ipswich can get through to half time and it's still 0-0, they're just going to grow in confidence the whole time, and they are just going to try and frustrate the hell out of them. That has often been key through Alex Neil's time at Norwich, isn't it, the first goal? And just mentioned Sheffield Wednesday, didn't you say Gary Hooper back in action today?
So back in the goals.
Warming up nicely to help out his, 150,000 a week strikers at Sheffield Wednesday?
Young, promising striker playing for the under-23s, isn't he, I think now?
So coming full circle. Crew on a Monday afternoon, he's living the dream, that lad.
Hey, Paul Jones was 30 and he helped the under-23s at Carrow Road last week. If they hadn't had him, then they would not have won.
It's nothing if not good, solid youth development. Right, hopefully Norwich will have a couple of players back. I suppose it's one thing we should just touch on. Ivo Pinto should be back fit. Yusuf Malumbu maybe as well. That's probably the most likely too, Pat, do you reckon?
Yeah, that seems to be the way Neil was intimating post-match. Other than that, no, I think it'll come too soon for the other lads. But those two would be very useful additions, I think, for this weekend.
Certainly, Pinto. Okay, so anyone want to make a prediction? Even though it is Monday afternoon and we've got a whole week to look forward to this. Dave's blowing air out of his cheeks, so to speak.
3-1. Always 3-1 at home.
Which way?
Norwich.
Just checking. Pad?
Yeah, home win, yeah. And then...
then we can panic over Hillsborough.
Then we go to Hillsborough, yeah.
And Bristol City a few days after that as well. What a week that's going to be. Dave?
I mean, considering they beat Forest 5-1 and scored 2 against Newcastle, you can't see them not scoring, so I'll go 2-0, Norwich.
Well, 3-1. I agree with Pete for now. I just hope it's not a draw. And that'd be no good for anyone. But there we go. All right, then, cheers. Apart from the police, yes, lucky police.
Well, that's said. Legally binding now. You have to stick with that for the prediction, Lee. Yeah.
No.
11:59, I'll change my mind.
No, wait until the teams come out for official predictions. Gents, thank you very much. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Don't forget, you can follow the podcast in all the places and pinkin.com. You know where it is. And we'll see you after the derby. Keep everything crossed if you can. Bye now.